Om Shanti. So this morning we are going to look at the subject of drama, or going deeper into the knowledge of drama. At face value, when many people first hear about the drama, they say, "What is the point?" Did you ever do that? So very, very few people can actually take on and take in the knowledge of drama. And in fact, sometimes we say that it is this point that indicates that a person really is a BK. Soul, anybody can accept the idea of soul, right? Supreme soul, anybody from any religion. The soul world, anybody can accept. And probably many of you have taught the 7 days course, and you find that these three lessons, soul, supreme soul, and the three worlds, are quite okay. But then comes the drama. And then people say, no. What about the dinosaurs? There's always that question. Poor dinosaurs, they're perfectly okay. They don't exist anymore. But what is the knowledge of drama? And not what are the details of, but what is the thing that is called the knowledge of drama? So there is you probably know the word mantra pretty well, right? A mantra, a word people repeat when they chant. But a mantra is a piece of advice, actually. That's a mantra. It's the meaning of a mantra. And the drama... No? Yes? Yantra means an instrument. So the cycle is an instrument. And you know that the image of Vishnu is seen holding the cycle, right? Spinning on the right hand index finger. So that means the drama is not a static thing, it is a spinning thing. Anybody been in a helicopter? Yes. So a helicopter is an aircraft with rotary wings. And when you make the helicopter's rotary wings spin, it goes up. And so the drama is also a spinning instrument that causes your stage to go up. So it's an instrument for raising your stage. Now, the drama is also compared with the discus. You know, in the Olympic Games, one of the sports is throwing the discus. And so the discus is also like a sort of frisbee. You must have all played with frisbees, right? And frisbees are shaped in a certain way so that the upper surface is larger than the lower surface. Right? It goes like this. And the lower surface is this much and the upper surface is a little bit more. Right? The aerodynamics of a frisbee means when you throw it spinning, it'll go further and stay up longer. And so there's also an instrument. Now, the purpose of the discus in mythological terms is for cutting off people's heads. So it's also a weapon. And we are not in the business of chopping people's heads off, but we are in the business of chopping the heads off of the vices. Some of you may be familiar with the Western mythology, the story of Hercules. Do you know the story of Hercules? He had to do 12 labors because he ate his children, which is not a very good divine thing to do. But anyway, this was his punishment. He had to do 12 labors. And the last one involved a cutting off the heads of a many-headed snake called a hydra. Do you remember that story? Yeah? And the thing with that is that you cut it, maybe with your discus, but two will grow in its place. So just cutting it was not sufficient. There also had to be a torch of fire, so you'd have to cut it and burn it both. And so for us, in our practice of Raj Yoga, when any vice raises its head, we have to cut it with the sword of knowledge, or apply the discus of the Dharma, and we also have to burn it with the fire of yoga, and then it will go away, right? So what we want to focus on right now is how to use the instrument of Dharma. So we'll go a little bit further to describe the instrument. And one of the specialities of the Dharma is that every time it spins exactly the same way the next time. That means each and every scene in Dharma is like that. Now, when something happens that you feel bad about, which could be either you did something wrong or somebody else did something wrong, right? Because you will feel bad when you identify something in the category of wrong. Am I right? You're thinking about your feelings here. So, if somebody does wrong, you say, this is Dharma, right? Do you do that? I don't see very many nods. Do you do that? Somebody does something wrong, you say, it was supposed to be like that. This actor in this Dharma was supposed to do this wrong thing. And so it happened. Otherwise we say, why, what, how? Why did this person do this? We know the answer is because it was fixed in Dharma that they had to do this. Right? And the other thing we know about the Dharma is that it is beneficial. We use this word in Hindi, kalyankari. Have you heard this word before? Kalyankari? Yeah. It's a very often used word in Gyan. So some Hindi words you can remember easily because they come a lot. So they say for Shiv Baba that he is kalyankari, he is benevolent. And then Dharma is also benevolent. So that means even some wrong thing that happens in Dharma is able to be seen, if you look at it with the right angle, as something good. So one of the purposes of the knowledge of Dharma is to free you from the polarities of right and wrong. Because part of the human problem, which exists for anyone who has any kind of body consciousness, is they are affected by right and wrong. We like things to be right, we don't like things to be wrong. If something is right, we say, yes, yes, very good, we like this. something is wrong, we say, uh-oh, we don't like this, bad thing, stop it, make it go away, ah, right? And in that way, we start to move this way and that way. We come under the influence of things that are right and things that are wrong, and it makes us unstable. So, there is another special attribute of a spinning object, and that is a gyroscope. Have you seen gyroscope? A gyroscope is just something that spins. And what it does is whenever something spins, you probably all know how to ride a bicycle, right? So when you're riding the bicycle, it stays up. When it's not moving, it's going to fall down, right? Why? Because a wheel that turns has this special capacity to stay in the same plane. You see, so a bicycle wheel goes like this vertically. A gyroscope goes horizontally. You see, so for example, where would you put a gyroscope? You'd put a gyroscope in a submarine or in a rocket, so that they don't wobble. Otherwise they wobble. I don't know if they have them in planes. They do have them in ships, you see, because anything that could wobble, and what's the wobbliest thing in the world, and that's your own self, right? Very wobbly, no? Easily you can be wobbled. And so if you have a gyroscope, then that's a stabilizer. So that's useful, right? And this is why Baba says, keep the cycle spinning in your intellect. So the right-hand index finger is the symbol of your intellect. And the drama is spinning in your intellect. That means that in here everything is stable, no matter what happens. So what I want to do today with you is to just look at these attributes of this instrument of the drama in such a way that you can take possession of it and become fully empowered in your use of this instrument to keep yourself stable under any circumstances. This is useful, right? So it's a stabilizer, it's a weapon. It also enables us to be free from the right-left pendulum of getting swung between right and wrong. Because this swinging between right and wrong is the thing that causes us to have questions. And Baba has said that we need to be able to establish a frame of mind so that we don't have questions. Particularly what, why, how, who, when, these things, right? That means that nothing should be able to surprise us. When you get taken by surprise by an enemy, they can take you down very easily. So of course our enemy is Maya, right? So the weapon of the drama is used against the enemy Maya. Now Baba had said in the most recent Murli that he spoke on the 15th, that such circumstances will come that will require us to apply a full stop. And what he also said is that you plan to apply a full stop, but you end up applying a question mark. So now that means that whatever you can predict is not going to happen. What is going to happen is so unpredictable that none of us are predicting it. That means to say it should be some sort of surprise. We don't know what, we don't know when, we don't know where, we don't know how much or for how long. All we know is what Baba has said, anything can happen, anything can happen, anytime. And so, now, how do we feel about that? Do we feel afraid? Because one possible emotion that can arise within the soul is fear. Fear of the unknown. It's quite normal for people to feel afraid of the unknown. And Baba has made it very clear that something's going to happen that's completely unpredictable, therefore totally unknown, and it's going to happen. And all of us, from our own perspective, are going to encounter it. And so he's making us prepared. Something's going to happen. Maybe several somethings are going to happen. We don't know. And so they say forewarned is forearmed. So how do we arm ourselves? We have been warned that there's going to be a surprise and we're not supposed to be surprised by it, in the sense of we're not supposed to be put out or destabilized, so we have to be able to manage the unmanageable, expect the unexpected, and don't be surprised by a big surprise. So how do we do that? Well, one thing is for us to observe ourselves on a day-to-day basis. Because each and every day, something or another happens to us that we don't like. Or we make a mistake. Or somebody else makes a mistake. And of course Baba tells us to check our chart, and one of the areas to check is to observe how do I respond when anything unexpected occurs. It's small things, you know. You spill your tea all over your murli, or you know, little things. Or you slip down and you break your ankle, or something like this. And these little things means you have to deal with them. And we have to also say to ourselves, for each and everything, is that it is supposed to be like this. And Baba has told us we have to change our swabhav and our sanskaras. Right now we need to know what exactly is a swabhav and what exactly is a sanskar. So I had an interesting conversation with a person who knows Hindi and English quite well, and gave me a different translation for the word swabhav from what we normally experience, and that gave me some extra insight. So I'm going to share it with you. Normally we translate the word swabhav as nature, but this person said probably swabhav is more like conditioning. That's very different from nature. So if you consider your conditioning means that the influences in your whole life up until the present time of the major influences in your life. And the major influences generally are your parents, your family background, your education, your teachers, media, all the cultural aspects that are part of your formation as a human being. And then the third major influence is your religious environment. Whether you're a practitioner or not, but there's an environment. And so these influences condition you. And they make your personality to quite a large extent. And so this is one of the things that Baba wants us to change. And then these things which we may call as conditioning, they refer to this life. So there are many things that have happened to us in this life that we've taken on board that becomes part of our identity. And then when it comes to sanskaras, we may say that these are the influences of our actions, interactions, experiences from the past lives. So that means that Baba wants us to change how we have become in this life as a result of those influences that we can become very aware about, and then those influences that are from past lives that we are not as conscious about, but that we can identify by observing our performance in this drama. So what that means is that we need to observe ourselves. So Baba has given us a number of perspectives through which to look at ourselves. For example, he says we have to be the detached observer. So we can be a detached observer to observe various different scenes in the drama, things that are on the outside of ourselves, and we also can become the detached observer to look at our own selves. Because normally speaking, we do not look at ourselves. We are on the inside of ourselves and we're looking at everyone and everything that's on the outside. So that means we have to position our consciousness outside of ourselves and look back at ourselves. So we have to be reflective in that sense. If you look at yourself in a mirror, you always see yourself the wrong way around. So you can't see yourself very well like that. It's always backwards, right? And if you try to see yourself the way Baba looks at you, have you tried doing that? That's a very interesting exercise. To look at yourself with the same perspective that Baba has on you. Now, if you're looking at your conditioning, how your mother and father reflected you, did they say you're wonderful, marvelous, fantastic? Or did they say you're a hopeless case? Or you're a mistake? Or, you know, it could be anywhere from very, very good to very, very bad. And it will be their perspective. And they will be telling you who you are from their point of view, which may or may not be accurate. But you will never know that until you detach from your conditioning and look at yourself from your own eyes. But your own eyes are affected by these other people's eyes. And so Baba says, look at yourself the way I look at you, right? And so the first thing we will know is that we are a mite mite bache. We are a sweet, sweet child. Because God is quite, doesn't have any mental problems or any hidden agendas or anything. He will tell you like it is, that you happen to be a sweet child. Now that may be a surprise to you, that you're a sweet child, because maybe other people said you're a naughty child, you're a stupid child, you're a whatever, but from his point of view, that's all nonsense. You're a sweet child. So the first area in which you can change is this. That's a change of your swabhav. I mean, change of your conditioning. I like the word conditioning better than nature, because you don't know what to do with the word nature, right? Change your nature. Can you change your leopard spots? No. But you can change your conditioning, because you can put your finger on it. So then you say to yourself, okay, how do I use the knowledge of drama in regard to my conditioning? So you have to say that all of my family members, my educators, and all these external people, religious people, whoever it is, they played their allotted parts in drama, and it's not my problem. If you say, it is my problem, then you are in bondage to the other people's performances, and you're not free to perform your own performance independently, you see? So if you say to yourself, according to drama, they performed like this, that is their issue, nothing to do with me. And so you separate yourself from the other people. Because you know, from Baba's Gyan, you know that first of all, they are sleeping. They are unconscious. And they're doing what they're doing without much thinking. They say what they say without considering. They're like it's on an automatic pilot under the influence of the Iron Age and various vices and their conditioning and so on, so on, so on. Now you can put a stop to that. Using the knowledge of drama is they did what they did because they did what they did. It has nothing to do with me. In that way you are forgetting your body, bodily relations, bodily religions. This is one of our mantras that Baba has given us. Forget your body, forget your bodily relations, forget your bodily religions, and remember me alone. That is to say, you look at yourself not through those people's eyes, but through Baba's eyes. And Baba says, you're a sweet child. That's every BK is a sweet child. So then, if a thought arises that says, oh, I think I'm no good. Sometimes people think that. I think I'm no good. I think I'm a failure. Or I think I'm not going to make this. I don't think I can meditate properly. I don't know how to do service. Like this, we have certain thoughts about ourselves which are a throwback to our conditioning. So as soon as such a thought arises, we have to be able to pick it up. That, oh, hey, self, I'm thinking a thought that is a throwback to my conditioning, and guess what? Any thought like that is a waste thought. Garbage. Doesn't belong. Not true. Stop. put a full stop. And the truth is, I'm a sweet child of Baba. Anybody has any objection? Too bad. Not my problem. You see, in that way you free yourself. You say, according to drama, you guys are doing this, but that's nothing to do with me. I am a sweet child of Baba, and now I can create whatever action I decide, because I am an actor. Now, as an actor, Baba is our director, and he says, okay, here is a situation, right? You're in a situation, some or another situation. You have people that you live with, you have some work that you do, you have some bills you have to pay, you have some environment where you live, you have some number of possessions, etc., etc. You have various projects that you can or cannot do, and this is your situation. So the situation is there according to drama. Now, you have drama and you have karma. Two things. They're not the same, but they work together. So sometimes you will say, oh, my situation is not very good, it is my karma. And in that way you make yourself unhappy, because you're not using the knowledge of drama. You have the option to say, oh, woe is me, this is my karma. Or you could say, acha, I'm a sweet child of Baba, and he has put me in this particular situation for a very particular purpose. What is the purpose? If you remember Baba's Murli, he says very clearly and many times that any situation that you find yourself is very specifically designed to make you experienced. In other words, your situation may well be a result of karma, but more than that, it is an opportunity to become experienced. That means also an opportunity to become skilled. Skilled in the art of handling situations which normally you would find difficult. So if there's a situation that you find difficult, it means that you need to develop a certain understanding, a certain skill. If you are having an attitude that, oh, this is a very bad situation and I'm being punished for some bad thing that I must have done that make me a bad person, then you're not going to be able to take advantage of the situation, but you will be disadvantaged, not because of the situation, but because of that attitude toward the situation that you decided on. So you decide how to use a situation. So Baba has said, situation will come, you have to apply a full stop. What does this mean? It means that you have some particular weaknesses or some lack of skill or some deficiency somewhere which you are not completely aware about and which you do not know what to do about. So the situation comes very specifically to present to you what you have to work on. Not because you're a bad person, or anything like that, but because you are a sweet child of Baba and he wants you to have full capacity to do whatever is needed according to what comes in front of you. So your attitude is, this is a good thing. From a body conscious point of view, that same thing, you may judge it and say this is a very bad thing. But with the third eye of knowledge and with the instrument of drama fully in your possession, you say, according to drama, this is supposed to be happening to me right now, and it is a very good thing. Now, what I have to do is get an angle on it so that I can take profit. And so what is the profit that we need to achieve from this thing? The first profit is, there's something in me that needs to be tweaked, that is adjusted. Give you an example. This is a real example that happened very recently. There was a situation in which one person in a position of power wanted another person to be under their influence and do whatever they wanted without regard to the well-being of that second person. Okay? So that second person took advice from another person that, what shall I do? And the other person said, you have to remove yourself from that place. And the person said, how do I do that? Oh, they said, you have to write a letter that I'm going. Thank you very much. Have a nice day. And so they said, okay, what about they might not like it? So it doesn't matter whether they like it or not. This is what you have to do, otherwise you can't remove yourself from this situation, right? So, okay, write letter, da-da-da-da-da. Get the letter checked. Oh, yes, good letter, excellent, marvelous, fantastic. Give it to the person. That person gets very upset. Now, what's this? Did you do a good thing? Did you do a bad thing? How do you feel? So the person likes to always do the right thing, right? So the person did it absolutely thinking, yeah, this is a good letter, I'm doing the right thing, so didn't expect the other person to get so angry and upset. And that person didn't get angry with the person who wrote the letter directly, but indirectly went to the other person who had given the advice, saying, oh, da 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 da, this happened, that happened, the other happened. How terrible. This is a bad person. And that person went to the first person who wrote the letter and saying, oh, you know, that person got pretty upset about it. Are you following the story? And so then that person started to feel bad. And then the other person who gave the advice says, oh, you don't know how to use the knowledge of drama. So what is this? Interesting, no? Knowledge of drama is, you do the right thing, people may be upset. Doesn't mean you didn't do the right thing. It is in drama they got upset. You don't have to feel bad. Many, many people, they think that only if nobody gets upset, then only you do the right thing. This makes you into an absolute slave. Understand? So using the knowledge of drama at this level means you have to be prepared for situations where you do the right thing and everybody gets upset. Huh? And you have to maintain your feeling of stability and detachment. Because the other person will get upset due to some negative emotion, not due to that you did something wrong. Those two are different. It's a very important piece of information. Sometimes Baba says, do not give sorrow. So you think, oh well, if I do the right thing, it'll give sorrow to somebody, therefore I better do the wrong thing. Are you crazy? You do the right thing. If they get upset, doesn't mean that you gave them sorrow. It means they got upset because they got upset. Did you get it? This is a very deep point required for a person who wants to be free. If you want to be a slave, don't do Raj Yoga. Raj Yoga is the yoga for becoming a king. So the king has to be able to use the knowledge of drama in many different ways, many different circumstances. And using it superficially is okay for superficial situations, but most situations are quite complex and often quite deep. And so knowing the knowledge of drama a little bit deeper is very important if you want to progress. Because in Gyan, there are levels, right? You say, well, how many years have you been in Gyan? 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 50 years, 60 years, 74 years, you know? There should be some difference in the subtlety, in the clarity, in the skill level of using the yantras. Drama is one of the yantras. There are many yantras, but this is one of them. See? So, becoming free also means becoming alone. Now, can you handle solitude? Because one of the things that the knowledge of drama indicates is you came alone, and you will leave alone. In between, you have a lot of involvements with various different people and projects and so on. But for a yogi, there is this word, ekant priya. You may have heard this word. Ekant means alone, in solitude. And so when we are forgetting our body, our bodily religion, our bodily relations, and remembering Baba alone, then we are also alone. Right? So we are not alone because Baba is there, but we have to make ourselves alone from other people in order to be fully present to Baba. And so therefore the knowledge of drama includes this practice to see that all of these people are actors. This is not my mother, my father, my sister, my brother, etc. There is only my Baba, right? And so now you have to also become skilled in that. Because people, they come and they go. possessions, they come and they go. The human condition, or the human nature, and the conditioning that we have all received from birth, as they give you your identity in terms of the relatives that you have. In our family, we do like this and not like that. And you can be friends with these people and not those people. And you will grow up to get married with this type of person and not that type of person. And you will have to live in this type of house and have this many children, and you have to go to this kind of school, and this is your box, and you don't even think of getting out of it. And Baba says, it's all not true, because any time, any of it can break down. Any of it. Very, very few marriages last. And even those that do are not necessarily healthy or happy. And so making your identity the way that everybody told you is not a very good idea, because they didn't tell you the truth. So that means our conditioning contains a lot of untruths, but we bought into it. We are invested in it. And so to extract ourselves from it is a step-by-step process. So Baba says, create all relationships with me, remember me alone, and know that all the things that are going on, they are all in drama. So drama, the word drama actually refers to film rather than theater. It's a 3D film, and all the actors are there, and they're just actors. And so in a film, you play a part, and you want to play well, because each and every action you do is a karma. So you had to use the knowledge for managing the other people's karma, you see. Because somebody may do some action which is provocative for you, and which would normally provoke a negative behavior in you. And when they succeed in doing that, then you create a minus point for yourself. I see. So the whole point of being alive in this world, in this drama, is to be in any situation with any kind of anybody, good, bad, or indifferent, it really doesn't matter. But that at each moment you have Baba with you for strength and drama with you for clarity, so that you perform actions that give you plus points. And you cannot allow yourself to be limited or pushed into a negative situation because of someone's behavior. You see. And so the knowledge of drama helps us to extricate ourselves from using this word because. I made this mistake because of this person. Or I wanted to do this, but I did that because of that person. Or because I was afraid of what they would do or what they would think. You know, any kind of because. Baba calls it an excuse. And knowledge says there's no excuse. Whether you give yourself an excuse or not, any mistake you make, you will have to pay, and you have to pay fully. And then get on with the next thing, you see. So in a way, the knowledge is merciless. Baba is merciful. The knowledge is merciless. That means that we need to pay attention. And so we have to have something which you might have heard this expression, enlightened self-interest. Have you heard this? Enlightened self-interest. That means you do karma for the purpose of yourself. So at each and every step, now some people say, well, that's very selfish. Selfish is when you do things for yourself at the expense of other people. I mean, somebody else has to pay, but still you will have to pay for that. So that's not useful. That's not enlightened. That's unenlightened. Enlightened self-interest, you do what is good for you, but it's also good for everybody else. That means you get plus point, and you also inspire other people to go into plus. And you can only do that when you are free from your conditioning, because your conditioning puts you into minus points in the name of right action. And people generally don't know what is right action. They think it feels good, do it. Not usually. Sometimes it feels bad, you should do it. Because a courageous action, a good action, takes courage. So if you want to do a courageous action, it means there is something that could stop you, something that could make you afraid. You're afraid of disturbing somebody, afraid of somebody might get displeased with you, or afraid that you might lose something in order to do the right thing. You might. It costs you a lot to do the wrong thing, and it also costs a lot to do the right thing. So what should you do? First of all, you make sure you have a very good bank balance, so even if it costs a lot, you can afford it, right? To do the right thing. So you create a good bank balance of yoga and of really understanding the depth of the knowledge, so that you can actually take a step of courage, with which Baba, of course, gives you 1,000 steps of help. You do the right action, it's going to cost you, but you also pick up a great deal of benefit, because it was the right action, I see. So anything based on any of the five vices, wrong action. Any negative emotion, wrong action. Anything based in the depth of jnana and the virtues, wisdom, right action. Either way, it's going to cost you. So I think the traffic control is going to come. So let's have a little quiet moment. And maybe after the traffic control, you might have some questions. And we can maybe look at those. Om Shanti. Om Shanti. So do you have any questions?
We know that drama is fixed, but Baba is telling us to bring time close. So how do those two things work together?
You know the drama is fixed, but you don't know what's fixed in it. There are two things. When you walk along, you have a left foot and a right foot. You can't hop so easily. It's better to use left and right. There's another thing which I can never remember offhand, but some of you may know this, and it goes by the name of the Serenity Prayer, which is used in the 12-step programs. And it distinguishes between two types of time. And time is a vector in which things take place. So there is time, how long it takes for something to happen, and there is place, where it happens. So there are certain things that you can do nothing about. They're just things that happen that are completely outside of your control. So for those things, you say, drama. There are certain moments in drama where it's like the ball is thrown to you. You have to catch it and you have to throw it. That means it's a moment where you have to act. And you have to distinguish, is this a moment where I have to accept? Or is this a moment where I'm called upon to act? And to be able to distinguish these two requires good power of discrimination. Have you experienced you had an opportunity, you hesitated, and you missed it? So this, all of us have had. Huh? It means you say, I blew it, I should have acted, I didn't. Or conversely, another situation will happen. You do whatever you can to try and make something be a certain way, and everything you do fails. And eventually you have to capitulate and say, there's nothing I can do. I did what I could. There is nothing I could do. So time is made up of these two types of things. So we know drama is fixed. We know there's a 5,000-year cycle. We know there's things that Baba has said, this will happen, that will happen. But when he says, bring time close, the time in question is the end time. The time when we put a full stop and we say, thank you very much, that was it for this cycle, I'm off, I'm going. You see. And we have to, when that moment comes, the word for time is also the word for death. And so when death comes to a yogi, you're a yogi, when death comes to a yogi, you have choice. I will die, or I will die the next time it comes around, or maybe the time after that, right? For a non-yogi, maybe there's less choice. Death comes, that's it. But for a yogi, it is said, you have choice. And I have had this experience very directly, that I was in a life-threatening situation, but the thought came, I could die right now, but it's not time, so I better get myself out of this situation. And so then act to produce a particular result. Or death comes and you say, time has come. It is time. I have to go now. I see. So recognizing is a very important part of it. Now, when he says bring time close, what he also said is you have to take care about the obstacle of carelessness and laziness. I see. Because he has said time is very short. You have to do intense effort. In other words, get on with it. So bring time close means get on with it. Do what you have to do. Procrastination is not the right thing for us, either individually or collectively. So it's really, he's telling us these two sides of time so that we are very accurate and take responsibility for doing what we have to do while we can, because once the time is past, nothing we can do, because time cannot be recuperated. You can't go back and get it back. Like there is this book, A la recherche du temps perdu. Have you heard about that? It's by Proust. Looking for lost time. You can't get it back. You can't get the opportunity that's missed. So I think that he is saying, in India, the idea of predestination produces an attitude called fatalism. Fatalism is negative, a negative attitude, because it's an interpretation of predestination that says, I'm just wait with my hands open and gold will fall into them or not. That means you're not going to make any effort. So he says, yes, it's destined, and yes, you have to make effort. Yes, there is destiny. Yes, there is free will. But you just have to know which moment to use which and for how long. Like that.
Om Shanti.
Om Shanti.
When we move in our life, and as we move along, then there is a fear many times emerge. There may be situations within our control, not within our control.
How to handle fear?
Yes, using knowledge as well as Baba together.
How to handle fear? Okay. Now, fear. The opposite of fear is, of course, courage, right? If you have fear, you know, fear is a vice. So we have, you know, greed, anger, lust, attachment, ego. Those are called the five major vices. And then the minor vices, which are not so minor, as fear, jealousy, slander, laziness, and hatred. They're not very minor, right? But they're called minor because they're a little bit less overt. They're a bit more internalized. So fear is optional. Suppose you are experiencing fear, right? You have two choices. You can act with courage, or you can act with cowardice. So if you are under the influence of fear, it will make you act in a cowardly way. And if you call on Baba with courage, you will do a powerful action in spite of fear. You see? Now, every single one of us experiences fear under different circumstances. But you have to ask yourself, can I live with myself as a coward? Can I do that? You see? Because if you act from cowardice, you cannot respect yourself. Because you will always know, I knew Baba, I had access to Baba, I didn't use it. I could have, because Baba is the Almighty. You are an immortal soul. Nobody can kill you. Nobody can kill you. They can remove your body from you, but you just get another one, you know, it's not a big deal. But you don't have to be. Why would you be afraid of a different shirt? It's just a change of shirt. You see. So if you are afraid of losing your body, it's because you haven't made it clear to yourself that you are not a body. Like you have this white sweater with a grey thing around the side, you know? I could take it from you and I could put it in the fire. It's no different. So the key practice and realization. I remember doing a lot of deep personal work on myself, and out of it came three very empowering realizations. And one of them was, nobody can kill me. I am an immortal soul, nobody can kill me. You can try whatever you want, you cannot kill me. Very powerful. You see, and second one, nobody can corrupt me. Nobody can corrupt me. I do not have a price. I have to live with myself for the rest of eternity, thank you very much. You cannot corrupt me. And third one, nobody can break my spirit. You can try. I won't allow it, you see. And what this is called is finding your power. Once you've found your power, then these three things come with that. And then you are not a fear-based person anymore, you become a value-based person. So if you can do this, you know, and how do you do this is by using the power to face. You know, we have the eight powers. One of them is power to face. So in your lifetime, many things come which are very difficult. And you face it. And when you face it with Baba, because if you remember the picture of the powers, it's got a circle in the middle and these eight petals like lotus, and then inside the middle you have a yogi in remembrance of Baba, you see. So you make your remembrance of Baba very strong, then when some big challenge comes, you call on the power to face and you apply it. You face that thing. And if you don't face it, you will not become experienced in facing. You see, because if you take a risk, big risk, to face a lion, right? Might eat you after all. And you face the lion, and it quietens down. And then you have experience. Oh, I can use the power to face. Hey, I did it. If you did it once, you can do it again. You see, power to face. Once I spent one full year only on the power to face. Very useful, you know, because we have so many things to develop and inculcate, you know. So I thought, this was many years ago. I said, okay, I will get this power to face. I want this. This is a useful one. 1 year. Many things come. If you issue a challenge to Baba and Maya, say, okay, I need the power to face. I want to be skilled because Baba has given us the powers. But if we don't learn how to use them, someone gives you a very fancy machine gun and you don't know how to use it, then in the war you're not useful. You have to know how to operate it. Same way these powers, they are also yantras, instruments, like a drama. And so it's a very good, worthwhile use of your time and energy to go one by one of these powers and really say to yourself and to Baba, I need this power. I see. Because I have a problem. I'm afraid of dying. Okay? So you'd be straight up with yourself. I'm afraid of dying. Why am I afraid of dying? Because I think I'm a body. Because soul cannot die. So that means I have to make myself very, very soul conscious so that I know this is a thing. I am a being. This is a replaceable item. It's my car. You know, when you get a new car, very nice, fancy car, very expensive, woohoo, insurance, this and that, don't touch my car. After 10 years, I need a new one. Yeah? So this body is also a vehicle. Yeah? In practice, take off your arms, take off your legs, take off your belly, take off your chest, take off your ears, take off your chin, take off your mouth, your nose, take off your head, take off your eyes. You're still there. You try that. Many different little yuktis we have, Baba has given us, so that we can actually make ourselves identify with the soul and disidentify from the body. You see? Your last birth you were a woman, next birth you'll be a woman. That'll do it. Because we're very fixed on the gender. I'm a man. No, you're not. You're a soul occupying a male body for some time. Huh? Oh, I am Indian. No, not necessarily. You see? All these words that our conditioning has told us, you are this, you are this, you are this. Baba said, not really. You're a dot. You're a light. You're invincible, you're indestructible, and you are my sweet child, and nothing can happen to you, and you can never die. Guarantee. You see? So we have to churn on this, meditate on it, until we make it real for ourselves. And this gives us so much power that we can really face the different challenges and become true to ourselves. You see, this is what we want, isn't it? We don't want to be limited by these limitations. This is why Baba came to teach us and make us his students, and we need to take however long it takes and gradually really understand the lessons. However long it takes, it takes. Acha. Spirit means your courage. Nobody can break my spirit means you can't be put down, you can't be broken. Yeah? Otherwise people will beat you, they will take away your money, they will do this, that and the other to make you just give up. You know? It happens in this world, it's a jungle out there. It's an expression that we use in English, breaking somebody's spirit. Means they can't stand up for themselves, like that. Yeah. Otherwise, soul, spirit, same thing. So, you must be getting hungry. So, let's just have a moment of Baba's remembrance. And thank you very much. And Om Shanti.